الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, we were reading some benefits. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, in his book مفتاح دار السعادة, in his book about the key to happiness and bliss, with regards to some of the virtues of knowledge. And that knowledge is a type of jihad. Rather, it is the best and most virtuous aspect of al-jihad, striving to seek knowledge and to bear knowledge and to carry knowledge and to teach and spread knowledge. All of this is from the greatest aspect of al-jihad fi sabilillah, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْمَقْسُودَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْمَقْسُودَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِعْلَاءُ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And that is because the intention behind knowledge, or the intention with regards to the knowledge, seeking knowledge and carrying and teaching knowledge, is to raise high the statement of Allah عز وجل. إِعْلَاءُ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ عز وجل. إِعْلَاءُ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ عز وجل. To raise high the statement لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. To spread that through the land and to establish that. And to establish that in oneself, in one's family, in the household, in one's community, in one's society, and throughout the lands. This is the intention from knowledge. And likewise, الذب عن الدين وعن الأقيدة الصحيحة. To defend the religion and the correct and proper creed. والذب عن السنة. عن السنة النبوية. And to defend the prophetic sunnah. Likewise, all of these are from the aims and goals and the intent of seeking knowledge and learning. Seeking knowledge and learning, and carrying knowledge and teaching, and carrying knowledge and teaching. In this manner, the religion is established. So from this aspect, it is a type of jihad. Rather, it's the most specific and the most virtuous aspect of that, as Ibn Qayyim, he had clarified, and that which we read in the previous class, rahimahullahu ta'ala. We continue reading these benefits that he mentioned, rahimahullah, related to this affair. He says, قال تعالى في سورة الفرقان وهي مكية ولو شئنا لبعثنا في كل قرية نذيرا فلا تطع الكافرين وجاهدهم به جهادا كبيرا. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Most High, he says in Surah Al-Furqan, that the Most High, he says in Surah Al-Furqan, وهي مكية. And this is a Meccan surah. What does he mean by that? This chapter was revealed before the Hijrah. Whenever the people of Nadas, they mentioned that this chapter is Makkiyah or this chapter is Madaniyah. What does that mean? This chapter is Makkiyah. It's a Meccan chapter. This chapter is Madaniyah. This is a Madaniyan chapter. What does that mean? It was revealed in Mecca. It was revealed in Medina. What is it talking about? Is it talking about the place, or is it talking about something else? It's talking about the time. This is in reference to the time, not into the place. This is in reference to the time and not into the place. If it's considered Mekkiyah, if it's considered a Meccan chapter, meaning it was revealed before the migration of the Prophet ﷺ to Al-Madinah, regardless of where it may have been revealed, regardless of the place that it may have been revealed. So the surah that is Makkiyah, this is a surah that was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the surah that is Madaniyah, this is a surah that was revealed after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless of the place. This is with regards to the time. So in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a number of stages. From the biggest stages in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-Ahd al-Makki wal-Ahd al-Madani. The Meccan period, and then The Meccan period and the period in Medina. And each one of these periods, likewise, they have divisions. The point that we want to benefit from this issue here, the author, he says, قَالَ تَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ الْفُرْقَانِ وَهِيَ مَكِّيَّةِ وَهِيَ مَكِّيَّةِ. That Allah, he says in Surah Al-Furqan, the chapter of the criterion, and it is a Meccan chapter. He's telling us something. He's indicating something here, clarifying an issue, but so that we understand the intent, whenever it's mentioned that this chapter is considered Makkiyah and in Meccan, meaning it was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. meaning it was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the portion of the Quran was revealed after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it called? It's called Madaniyah. For example, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah, much of that, or all of that, Allah knows best, was revealed in Mecca. But when? Fi Hajjat al-Wada'. This chapter was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, Surah Al-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, and the likes like this. These were revealed in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they were revealed in Mecca. They were revealed while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca. So they're not considered Mekkiya, they're considered Madaniyah. So this likewise tells us or informs us of different details. And this is the point of the author here, rahimahullah. So this is Mekkiya. So in the Meccan period, the jihad was not established. In the Meccan period, jihad with the sword was not allowed. It was not allowed to fight with the sword until after the hijrah. Until after the hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they were ordered to be patient and to seek the aid and help of Allah azza wa jal. And they waited until they were allowed to make hijrah, and then allowed after that to make jihad. Then after the hijrah, the jihad was legislated. So jihad with the sword, fighting in the name of his religion, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, was not legislated in Mecca. It was not allowed. So this chapter here is Mekkiya. So in this chapter, Allah revealed this verse, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And Allah, He says, and had we willed, we would have sent to every city or to every village a warner. So therefore, do not obey the disbelievers and fight against them with it, a great fighting. And strive against them with it, a great striving. And the shahid here, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. So here Allah is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make jihad against the kafirin. To make jihadan kabiran. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And strive against them with it, a great striving. A great striving. So the author, he is now going to clarify. He says, فَهَذَا جِهَادٌ لَهُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَأَكْبَرُ الْجِهَادَيْنِ وَهُوَ جِهَادُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ أَيْضًا فَإِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَمْ يَكُونُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَلْ كَانُوا مَعَهُمْ فِي الظَّاهِرِ وَرُبَّمَا كَانُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ عَدُوَّهُ مَعَهُمْ وَمَا هَذَا فَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَاغْلُظْ عَلَيْهِمْ. He says, rahimahullah, وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ جِهَادَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِالْحُجَّةِ وَالْقُرْآنِ بِالْحُجَّةِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. So the author, he says that what is intended here in this verse, وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Therefore, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not obey the disbelievers and strive against them with it, a great striving. He said this is the jihad, the striving against them with the Qur'an. With the Quran, وَهُوَ أَكْبَرُ الْجِهَادَيْنِ, and it is the greatest of the two jihad, and it is the greatest of the two jihad. وَهُوَ جِهَادُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ أَيْضًا, and this is the jihad of the hypocrites likewise. And in the jihad that one will fight and strive it with against the hypocrites. So the disbelievers, one will strive and fight against them in this manner, with knowledge, with the Quran, and likewise against the hypocrites. He says, because indeed the hypocrites, they did not fight the Muslims. They did not fight the Muslims. Rather, in those days outward, they used to fight along with them. And whenever the jihad was legislated in Al-Madinah, this is whenever hypocrisy became apparent in Al-Madinah. And even some of those hypocrites, they were pure and true hypocrites. But iyadhu billah, still they fought alongside with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outwardly. So the jihad against the munafiqeen, against the pure hypocrites, is with knowledge. And this is the point that he's making here. He says, rather, maybe those hypocrites, they would fight alongside with them against their enemy. Along with the fact that the munafiqun, they did not fight the Muslims, and the Muslims did not fight them any physically. And that possibly sometimes there were circumstances whenever the munafiqun, the hypocrites, they fought alongside with the Prophet against the enemies. They fought alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the enemies, and the Prophet was not allowed to fight the hypocrites. And whenever he was asked about that, what did he say? That in order so the people will not say that Muhammad is killing his companions. Because now if he were to kill the hypocrites, even if he knew who they were and that they were purely insincere or truly insincere, and he knew that they were truly insincere, and then he killed them, the people on the outskirts in the other villages and towns, they would think that he's killing his companions. So no one would want to accept Islam, and no one would come to Medina, and no one would want to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because what is apparent and what is being spread or what is known to the people that he's killing his companions. For this reason, he did not fight them. He did not fight them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But along with that, the author says that Allah indeed, He said to His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhan nabi, jahidul kufara wal munafiqina waghluz alayhim. O you Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strive against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh against them. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not allowed to fight the hypocrites, but he's ordered to strive against them here. And be harsh against them. That was what kind of striving? Striving against them and fighting against them with the weapon? Or with clarification and with knowledge? With clarification and with knowledge. Likewise, in the previous verse that was in Surah Al-Furqan, the fighting with the weapon was not even allowed or legislated at that time. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to fight and strive against the disbelievers, a great striving. So what is intended by the great striving is the striving with the Quran, the striving with the legislation, the striving with knowledge and clarification, and refutation, refutation of falsehood, clarification of the truth, and refutation of falsehood. So he says, وَالْمَعْلُومُونَ أَنَّ جِهَادُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِالْحُجَّةِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. And what is known is that fighting against the hypocrites is by way of proof and with the Quran. وَالْمَقْسُودُ أَنَّ سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ هُوَ الْجِهَادُ وَطَالَبُ الْعِلْمِ وَدَعْوَةُ الْخَلْقِ بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He says, and what is intended here is that the path of Allah, سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ, the path of Allah, this is a great benefit. What is intended here is that the path of Allah, any to somebody who would be considered on the path of Allah, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that what is intended by this statement here, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, هُوَ الْجِهَادُ, الْجِهَادُ وَطَالَبُ الْعِلْمِ وَدَعْوَةُ الْخَلْقِ بِهِ. That is to strive and fight with the weapon and the enemies in the legislative manner, and to seek knowledge. وَدَعْوَةُ الْخَلْقِ بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَدَعْوَةُ الْخَلْقِ بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And to call the people with that knowledge to Allah. And to call the people, or with that jihad, to Allah. وَدَعْوَةُ الْخَلْقِ بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. يعني بهذا الجهاد الذي هو العلم. To call the people in that jihad to Allah Azza wa Jal. ولهذا قال معاذ رضي الله عنه عليكم بطالب العلم فَإِنَّ تَعَلُّمَهُ لِلَّهِ خَشْيَةٌ فَإِنَّ تَعَلُّمَهُ لِلَّهِ خَشْيَةٌ وَمُدَارَسَتَهُ عِبَادَةٌ وَمُذَاكَرَتَهُ تَسْبِيحٌ وَالْبَحْثُ عَنْهُ جِهَادٌ. And he says, rahimahullah, for this reason, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he has mentioned that you must seek knowledge. عَلَيْكُمْ بِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. You must seek knowledge, because indeed learning it is fear of Allah. Learning it for the sake of Allah is fear of Allah, and studying and reviewing it is considered an action of worship. And studying it is considered an action of worship, and reviewing it is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, type of praise of Allah azza wa jal, and researching it, and searching for it is, and seeking after it is a jihad in the path of Allah azza wa jal, is a jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This narration is well known, and it's also well known that it has some weakness in the chain, and it's also well known that the people of knowledge have mentioned that the wordings of this narration, although they have weakness in the chain, are very beneficial. So no doubt, you must hold fast to seeking knowledge. And no doubt, learning knowledge for the sake of Allah is type of khashya, and fear and reverence of Allah. And studying the knowledge is an action of worship. In reviewing the knowledge is a type of praise. It's a tasbih, praising Allah Azza wa Jal and glorifying Him. Glorifying Him, and to seek knowledge is jihad, with bahth anhu, jihad. And seeking knowledge is striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, rahimahullah, وَلِهَذَا يَقْرِنُ سُبْحَانَهُ بَيْنَ الْكِتَابِ الْمُنَزَّلِ وَالْحَدِيدِ النَّاصِرِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط بالقسط وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد ومنافع للناس وليعلم الله من ينصره ورسوله بالغيب إن الله قوي عزيز. So the author, he says now, rahimahullah, that, and for this reason, Allah the Most High, he couples and mentioned the revealed book along with the aiding iron, along with the supportive iron. And he mentions al-kitab, and he gathers in the same context by mentioning al-kitab al-munazzal, yani the revealed book, which is the revelation, which is the Quran, and the knowledge that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mentioning this along in the same context with al-hadid al-nasir. Al-Hadid al-Nasir, yani the aiding and supportive iron, yani, and this is what he's referring to. He says this is as in the statement of Allah the Most High, or as Allah the Most High, He has said, indeed we have sent our messengers with clear proofs and revealed with them the scripture and the balance, and he meaning the justice, that mankind may keep up justice, and we brought forth iron, wherein is mighty power in matters of war, as well as many benefits for mankind, that Allah may test who it is that will help him, and he in his religion, help him, and he aid his religion and his messengers in the unseen. Verily, Allah is all strong, almighty. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that he indeed has sent the messengers, and he has revealed along with them, he has revealed and sent them along with the revelation and the justice, yani the knowledge and the wisdom that was revealed to them to establish justice in the land. And also he has sent along with them as well al-hadid. And also he has brought forth iron, al-hadid. يعني فيه بأس شديد ومنافع للناس. So this is what he's referring to. So he says, فَذَكَرَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحَدِيدَ إِذْ بِهِمَا قِوَامُ الدِّينِ كَمَا قِيلَ. So Allah here, in this verse, he mentioned the book and the iron. He mentioned the book and the iron. What is intended by the book? The revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Quran and the clarification of the book is the Sunnah, the revelation. The revealed guidance to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What hadid? What is intended? What hadid? The iron, meaning the swords, the weapons, that which is a means to physically fight. So this is in reference to both types of jihad. That this is something that Allah has revealed and sent with the messengers. That they were the guidance is revealed to them, and they strive with knowledge. And likewise, the hadid, the one will strive with the hadid. Likewise, with the iron. يعني meaning he will strive physically with the weapons of war. فَذَكَرَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحَدِيدِ إِذْ بِهِمَا قِوَامُ الدِّينِ. So Allah, he mentioned the book and the hadid, he mentioned the book and the iron, because by way of them is the establishment of the religion. Because by way of them is the establishment of the religion. كَمَا قِيلَ فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا الْوَحْيُ أَوْ حَدُّ مُرْحَفٍ تُمِيلُ ذُبَاهُ أَخْدَعِ كُلِّ مَائِلٍ فهذا شفاء الداء من كل عاقل وهذا دواء الداء من كل جاهل من كل جاهل. Mentioning these lines of poetry, and with regards to this issue of the revelation and the knowledge and the sword and the weapon, and that the sword is the cure for every sound-minded person. Whenever he brings the sword to him and the authority to him, those with sound mind, they will surrender and submit. And likewise, the knowledge is the cure for every disease, for the disease of every ignorant individual. So here, these are two cures. Those people with the disease of misguidance and ignorance, then the revelation is a cure for them. And those with the disease in opposition to that, then the iron is a cure for them. Then the iron is a cure for them. So the people of Nas, they mentioned that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْزِعُ بِالسُّلْطَانِ مَا لَا يَنْزِعُ بِالْقُرْآنِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will establish with the authority that which He will not establish by way of the revelation. And some people, if they do not take admonition, then the authority will discipline them. Then the people of authority will discipline them. And if the people do not take admonition from the reminder, then the people of authority will discipline them. In any case, these two, they come together. And whenever they come together, this is the establishment of the religion. And this is how the deen is established. So they work hand in hand. The authority, yani the religious authority, and then likewise, the political authority, and those who have power in the land, power to enforce that religious command. and to establish that in the land. In this manner, the religion will be spread and be established. So he says, وَلَمَّا كَانَ كُلُّ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ بِالسَّيْفِ وَالْحُجَّةِ يُسَمَّى سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ فَصَّرَ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ قَوْلَهُ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ بِالْأُمَرَاءِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ فَإِنَّهُمُ الْمُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ هَؤُلَاءِ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَهَؤُلَاءِ بِأَلْسِنَاتِهِمْ. So he says that since this, each one of these, since striving with the sword and striving with the proof and evidence, both of them are considered sabil Allah, both of them are considered the path of Allah, any jihad, fighting in the path of Allah. The companions, radiallahu anhum, they haven't made the interpretation, they have made the interpretation, the statement of Allah the Most High, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority over you. They interpret this to mean the rulers and the scholars. The rulers and the scholars, because they are those who are striving in the path of Allah. These are striving with their hands and these are striving with their tongues. Any of the rulers, they strive to implement the authority with their hands, any with force, and the people of knowledge, they strive to implement the authority with their tongues, clarifying the truth and distinguishing that which is good from that which is falsehood. So coming to the point, he says, Rahimahullah, فَطَالَبُوا الْعِلْمِ وَتَعْلِيمُهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. فَطَالَبُوا الْعِلْمِ وَتَعْلِيمُهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So therefore, seeking knowledge and teaching it is from the greatest aspect of being in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the greatest aspect of being in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. If that's the case, that seeking knowledge and teaching is from the greatest means of being in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this will have the greatest reward and the greatest recompense. So one in that path is going to face the greatest challenges and the greatest difficulties, and it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be easy. That's why only a few, they actually achieve and accomplish the goal and aim and reach a high status in them because of the lofty status and the high rank of knowledge, seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge. This is from the greatest aspect of being in the path of Allah. So therefore, a person engaged in that, he has to have great attention to his heart to be sincere for the sake of Allah, because this is in the path of Allah. So therefore, he must do it only for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, قَالَ كَعْبُ الْأَحْبَارِ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ كَالْغَادِي الرَّائِحِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. كَعْبُ الْأَحْبَارِ, he says, rahimahullah, that the student of knowledge, he is like the one who's leaving out and coming back in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning he is like the fighter and the one who is striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who's truly making jihad with the sword. The student of knowledge is like this. He says, وَجَاءَ عَنْ بَعْضِ الصَّحَابَةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, and has come from some of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them. إِذَا جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ إِذَا جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ وَهُوَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالِ مَاتَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. مَاتَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. That if death comes to a student of knowledge while he is in this state, what he is in this state, meaning seeking knowledge, then he's considered a martyr. Then he's considered a martyr. Allah knows best. This has been narrated from a number of the companions, but the chains with regards to that are weak. The chains with regards to that are weak, but no doubt the student of knowledge, he will have a great high and lofty status. And if he was sincere in that and he died in that path, then inshallah he will have his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will be a great reward. As for this issue, Allah knows best about that. This is from the affairs of the unseen. And the issues of the unseen, they require clear evidence and proof that is authentic from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. From the Qur'an and from the Sunnah. So he says, rahimahullah, وَقَالَ سُفْيَانُ بْنُ عُيَيْنَةِ رَحِيمَهُلَّهُ مِنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمَ فَقَدْ بَايَعَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That whoever seeks knowledge, then indeed he has pledged an allegiance to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. This is clarifying the status and rank, and that a person, he would go on this path, he's pledging allegiance to Allah Azza wa Jal. And in reality, every believer, he pledges allegiance to Allah Azza wa Jal whenever he makes the shahada, and this is what is required. But the student of knowledge, he's trying to perfect that and to master that and to hold firm and tight to that and to learn the requirements of that in detail in order to establish it and clarify it and to carry it and to spread it. وَقَالَ أَبُو الدَّرْدَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَنْ رَأَى الْغُدُوَّ وَالرَّوَاحَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ مَنْ رَأَى الْغُدُوَّ وَالرَّوَاحَ
إلى العلم ليس بجهاد فقد نقص عقله فقد نقص عقله ورأيه. Abu Darda, he says, رضي الله عنه, that whoever believes that going out and going out and traveling, and going out and leaving and the likes for the sake of knowledge and in order to learn and seek knowledge, whoever believes that this is not a type of jihad, that this is not a jihad, then indeed his mind is deficient and his opinion is wrong. And his opinion is wrong, or his opinion or his view and his mind and intellect, both of them are weak and deficient. Both of them are weak and deficient. So the point from these narrations, and that the author, he mentioned them in the original text and that they're referred to in this summarization, is to clarify what is intended from this chapter, the chapter of the virtue of seeking knowledge, فَضْلُ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. So the point of this affair is to clarify the virtue of seeking knowledge, that this is something major, and this is something very virtuous and high and lofty, and that it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah, and that there are many great benefits in this life and the hereafter for those who are sincere in this path. For those who are sincere in this path. We read the last pages again from where we left off. And whenever the author is referring to these narrations, he says, وَهَذَا الدَّرْبُ فِي النَّاسِ قَلِيلٌ جِدًّا وَلَيْسَ يَضُرُّهُمْ ذَلِكَ فَأَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَبِيرٌ. This category of people is very few, yet this will not harm them, and their reward with Allah is great. And their reward with Allah is great. He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ كَانَ مُرَادُهُ فِي طَالِبِهِ لِلْعِلْمِ الدُّنْيَا فِي طَالِبِهِ لِلْعِلْمِ الدُّنْيَا وَأُمُورَهَا فَكَيْفَ يَلْحَقُهُ الثَّوَابُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ مَنْ طَالَبِ الْعِلْمِ. As for the one whose intention in seeking knowledge is the worldly life and its affairs, then how could this reward ever reach him from that which is mentioned from the virtue of seeking knowledge? An indication again that these lofty benefits and virtues from being on the path to paradise and having that path facilitated and made easy, and for the angels to lower their wings and to protect and to honor a person, the student of knowledge, and likewise for everything in the heavens and the earth, even the fish in the sea, even the ant in its hole and its dwelling, to seek forgiveness for an individual, and for a person to have a virtue like that of the full moon over the rest of the stars compared to the rest of the believers. Compared to the rest of the believers, and to truly be considered from the inheritors of the prophets, he must be sincere. He must be sincere. He must strive to learn with sincere faith, believing in Allah, and that Allah alone, He is the true Lord and the true King and Master, and He has the authority and the command, and nothing happens except for with His permission, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and that Allah, He is the true God, who is worthy of worship alone, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and that He is alive and never dies, and that He has the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever, and He seeks knowledge to learn what is pleasing to Him, to learn what is pleasing to Him, and what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal from creed and speech and action and deed, in order to implement that, to draw near to Allah, and He seeks knowledge likewise to learn that which is displeasing to His Lord, in order to stay away from it and avoid it, upon clarity and insight, so that he can fulfill the obligations and draw near to Allah in this life in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and hope for His mercy and strive to be an upright and noble and good slave. The one who has this intention, he has these rewards. As for the one whose intention is other than that, then he does not include it. Rather, this knowledge will be a fitna for him and a trial and a means of retribution and punishment for him and evil consequences. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. And evil consequences, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. So now the author, closing this chapter, he mentions, رحمه الله, اللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ مَا أَشَدَّ فِتْنَةَ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَمَا أَعَزَّ مَنْ طَلَبَهُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. And this statement is something to reflect and ponder over. اللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ مَا أَشَدَّ فِتْنَةَ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَمَا أَعَزَّ مَنْ طَلَبَهُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. Allah's help is sought. How severe are the trials of seeking knowledge. How few and rare are those who seek it for the sake of Allah. How severe are the trials of seeking knowledge. How few and rare are those who seek it for the sake of Allah. We have seen in our previous seminar those those diseases of knowledge and those veils of knowledge and those obstacles and deterrents and distractions that take a person away from knowledge. And we have noticed that many of them, a person, he will be engaged in knowledge, but because of these diseases or because of these veils or because of these deterrents, he'll be misled from the true aim and goal of knowledge. He'll be misled from the true aim and goal of knowledge. And from the greatest trials and knowledge is to seek knowledge for other than the sake of Allah. And that's what he's referring to. So, but this person, he'll continue to seek knowledge. So he'll be on the path of knowledge outwardly, but his intention will be corrupted. So he's still on the path of seeking knowledge, but he's not sincere and true. And likewise, those who do not apply the knowledge, maybe they'll continue on the path of knowledge, but they're just increasing the proof against them. Or maybe they will obtain some knowledge, and then they will think that they're better than others and begin to belittle them. All of these are obstacles. All of these are obstacles that will corrupt. How severe are the trials of seeking knowledge? Maybe we'll become jealous. Maybe he'll become arrogant. Or maybe he will speak about Allah without knowledge. How severe are the trials of seeking knowledge? Maybe he will have animosity or rancor in his heart. Maybe he will be mad that somebody didn't put him up whenever he thought that he should have position. So on and so forth. Maybe all of these things that come. How severe are the trials of seeking knowledge? And how few and rare are those who seek it for the sake of Allah. He says, وَمَا مِنْهُمَا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَأَخْلَاقُهُ تَدُلُّ عَلَى صِحَةِ طَلَبِهِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَ أَوْ فَسَادِ طَلَبِهِ. And he says, there is not amongst the two of them, any, the one who is sincere or the one who is insincere, and there is not amongst the two of them anyone except his manners indicates the correctness of his intention in seeking knowledge or the corruption of his intention in seeking knowledge. وَمَا ذُكِرَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يُجَالِسَ إِلَّا مَنْ يُعُودُ عَلَيْهِ نَفْعُهُ مِمَّنْ يَكْتَسِبُ مِنْهُ فَهْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَأَدَبًا. And that which has been mentioned indicates that it is not befitting for a student of knowledge to sit in the company of anyone except those who will benefit him and gain him understanding, knowledge, and noble manners. وَإِلَّا فَلْيَنْبِذْ عَنْهُ مُجَالَسَتَهُ وَلْيَحْذَرْهُ عَلَى دِينِهِ. And if not, then they should denounce and turn away from their gatherings and be cautious of them regarding their religion. After this, the author, he mentions ذِكْرُ تَوَاضُعِ الْعَالِمِ وَالْمُتَعَلَّمِ. ذِكْرُ تَوَاضُعِ الْعَالِمِ وَالْمُتَعَلَّمِ. The mention of the humbleness of the scholar and the student. The mention of the humbleness of the scholar and the student. And this is the second to the last chapter mentioned in this abridgment. And after this, there's one more chapter, أَيُّ الْعِلْمِ أَوْلَى بِالْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمُ. Which knowledge is most rightful for a person to learn? And he may need to learn first, speaking about some benefits of seeking knowledge and some characteristics and traits of those who are truthful in that. And likewise, an indication to the important methodology of at-tadarruj and seeking knowledge and choosing that which takes priority. If we look here, there should be a hamza. Hamzatul al-qata, hamzatul ayyul ilmi awla. Write a hamza on top of the alif on awla. Ayyul ilmi awla bil insani an yata'allam. Inshallah, in our classes next week, we will take these chapters bi idhnillahi ta'ala. And we suffice with that this evening. And if there's any comments or corrections or questions, inshallah, we can take them. On Monday, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll go over the test. We'll go over together in class the test and the questions for the test that have proceeded on the obstacles of seeking knowledge. And anyone who has questions or suggestions or anyone has inquiries or even corrections with regards to something on the test and the likes, then we can go over that. And those who took the test and are with us on that day, we can finalize their scores, the scores that have been mentioned. If they're mentioned, they're not final until we go over them together. And then after that, the next week, we'll finish reading our work, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And then, inshallah, after that, we will return back to our normal schedule. We'll return back to our normal schedule, inshallah ta'ala, and that will be mentioned in its time. Question? No questions. seeking knowledge an obligation? What's the proof? طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. نعم, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. What is the sign that Allah wants good for somebody in this life? What are you going to say? It gives him understanding of the religion. Ahsanta. What does that mean? Giving him understanding of the religion. And it means that he memorized the Quran, or he memorized Bukhari. Is that what is intended? What is intended? Understanding in the religion. If Allah wants good for someone, He will grant them understanding in the religion. What does that mean? Knowledge that is accompanied with action. The type of knowledge that Allah will provide him, understanding in the religion. He will grant him beneficial knowledge that he will apply in his life. He will grant him beneficial knowledge that he will apply in his life. What's the proof for that? No? Huh? من يريد نعم صح من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. نعم, from the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. From the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The path of knowledge is the path to paradise. Is this correct? True or false? True. What's the proof? When whoever said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever sets out on that path seeking knowledge, then Allah will facilitate for him and make easy for him a path to paradise. Then Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. A path to paradise. With regards to the narration of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين. يفقه في الدين. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, He grants him understanding in the religion. Who can mention some benefits with regards to this? How do we understand this narration? Or likewise, coupling this narration along with the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. So we want to put them both in the same light. We want to put them both in the same light. Maybe we could just take a break here. It's almost time for the adhan. We'll think about that. How can we put both of these narrations in the same light? We have one narration mentioning that if Allah wants good for someone, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. And He'll grant him beneficial knowledge of that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give him success to apply that. And give him success to apply that and live by that and abide by it. And also, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. So one of the author, he mentioned these together, huh? And he mentioned these in the same chapter, in the beginning. So they have... They come together under the same light. And in the topic of this issue, the obligation of seeking knowledge. The obligation of seeking knowledge. So we want to think about this and mention some real life examples of how to apply these narrations. In the light of what we have studied in our previous classes in this work here, مختصر فارض طالب العلم, who can mention some benefits on how to understand these narrations together? It's an obligation to seek knowledge upon every Muslim. It's upon every Muslim. The obligation of seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. And whoever Allah wants good for, then He'll grant him understanding in the religion. Then He'll grant him understanding in the religion. No? Seeking knowledge is something Allah loves, no doubt about that. The question is going to go back. Well, these narrations here are in the very first chapter, huh? This is going to go back about before the Dawrah. We got to review back.
صح أحسنت. We're getting somewhere now. Whoever Allah does not want good for, He will not give him understanding in the religion. So what will he do? He will live a life of misguidance, following his desires and following his whims. And he will want to do good and he will only harm himself. He will want to do good and he will only harm himself. If he buys, he buys something haram. If he sells, he sells something haram. If he speaks, he speaks in a foul manner. If he looks, he looks at everything with no restraints. Getting there? So what is this? So how is a sign that Allah went good for somebody? That he'll grant him understanding in the religion? He will live a life upon light. And he will live a life upon light, meaning guidance. So he will go through this life upon guidance and upon light, not upon darkness and not upon heedlessness, not upon desires, not upon whims. Rather, he will move in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not create this creation for nothing. He did not create the heavens and the sun above our head for nothing, and the moon and the way it comes for nothing, and the trees and the fish and the birds and the animals. All of these were not created for nothing. And there's great wisdom. There's great wisdom. These are all signs of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Got signs of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs of the power and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs of the vast knowledge and supreme wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He does what He wills, and that He does what He wills. And likewise in the creation is signs that He will take us to account and bring us back to life, that He will bring us back to life and take us to account. So this life is going to go away and we're going to be taken to account and we're going to be brought back to life and stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this life is a test. So whoever Allah wants good for, then He will guide him to understand this life in its true reality. And He will guide him to make preparation for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jal. And He will clarify for him and have in this person, he will have insight to see the belief that is true and the creed that is correct and right. And he will believe that. And he will base his life upon that creed and belief. And he will chase in his life the pleasure of Allah. The pleasure of Allah. So he'll use his eyes in that which is lawful and pleasing to Allah. And he'll use his tongue in that which is lawful and pleasing to Allah. Because now he has beneficial knowledge. He knows that Allah does not like lying, nor does He like liars. And Allah, He does not like corruption, nor does He like those who work corruption. And the tongue is from the things that lie and work corruption. So now he will fear Allah Azza wa Jal and not use his tongue to work corruption, nor to lie, nor to backbite, nor to carry tales, nor to mimic or to mock or laugh at others. Rather, he will use it in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, because now he has been guided. He has been guided, and likewise his ears, and likewise his money, and likewise his wealth. He'll be guided, and he will have beneficial knowledge. Allah will favor him and grant him understanding in the religion. He will establish the deen in his life, and wherever he's going, he will have his main goal and aim to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will take advantage of this life in order to reach his goal. So this is the sign that Allah wants good for him. So he's not deceived by this life, following his whims and desires until death overtakes him. Rather, he's benefiting from this life in a manner that is lawful, and this is from the goodness that Allah had intended for him. And likewise, he's preparing for the life that never ends, and preparing for returning back to the one who created him, So this is how He wants good for someone, and this is also how it's an obligation, because every one of us, we have different lives and different realities that we face whenever we go out in the morning. Some of us go to a market, others go to a shop, some go to a factory, some stay at home, some do this, some do that, some have one wife, some have two, some have children, some have daughters, some have boys, some have none, some are not married. So each one of them, he has responsibilities that are upon him according. So it's an obligation for each one of us to seek knowledge of what we're involved in. So if you're involved in business and I'm not involved in business, it's an obligation for you to learn the details of that business, and it's not an obligation for me to do that. But if I'm going to be a partner with you now, it will be an obligation for me to do that. But before that, there are general obligations that we all share in, that we're all obliged to learn and to understand
and to apply, beginning with the creed, and then likewise after that tahara, and then also after that as-salah, and the other obligations that are upon all of the believers from the pillars of Islam accordingly. The author, he mentioned, for example, the one who's going to make hajj. Right now, it's not an obligation for you to learn the rulings of hajj in detail. It's an obligation to know that in general and to believe that it's a pillar from the pillars of Islam. It's pleasing, it's from the best deeds, and the likes like this. If you were to learn the chapter of hajj now, even without the intention to make hajj this year, but you to learn it now, this is considered recommended for you and a good deed. But it's not an obligation. But if you are intending to make hajj, now, it becomes an obligation for you to learn. Because now you're going to get involved in that. So this is funny from the understanding that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. So it doesn't mean that every single Muslim is going to be a student of knowledge, like a student of knowledge, yani, where their whole life is dedicated to knowledge. But there's an amount of knowledge that every Muslim, he must strive to learn. And that which is what his religion will be proper and correct by way of, and what is related to him specifically in one day and one night. And then the one who fulfills the obligation properly and correctly, then this is a sign that Allah wants good for him, because now he's taking care of business in a manner that is lawful and permissible. And that which he does from good, he has a reward with that from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's able to avoid the evil in a lofty and good manner. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.